Let's turn in God's Word to Exodus and chapter 22. Exodus 22, we'll be reading the whole chapter as we keep going through the book of Exodus. Exodus 22. And beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God, so give your attention to them. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. For he should make full restitution if he have nothing, and he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten and shall put in his beast and shall feed in another man's field, or the beast of his own field and the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand into his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox or for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be an hired thing, it came for his hire. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Whosoever lieth with the beast shall surely be put to death. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. He shalt neither vex a stranger, or thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. He shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? And it shall come to pass when he crieth unto me that I will hear, for I am gracious. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen, with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the 8th day thou shalt give it me. And he shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. Those are God's words. Well, you remember last Lord's Day, the last chapter, chapter 21, expounded the many applications of the Ten Commandments, particularly of the fifth and sixth commandments, giving us helpful principles and application to our faith and our life today. The same now is done with the seventh and eighth commandments. First, the eighth commandment, verses 1 through 4, concerning theft, the trespassing of cattle, verse 5, damage to another's property by fire, verse 6, damage to entrusted things, through verse 13, the borrowing of things which are damaged, verses 14 and 15, and you skip down to verses 21 and 24, the taking care of the poor who are in need. We also saw the widow and the orphan. And then verses 25 and 27, the borrowing or lending of money. All those dealing with forms of stealing. The eighth commandment and those things like what are named here are given in application to us today. We ask the question, what is true justice in such cases? Jail, does it say that here? A fine paid to the state, the government? No. It's repayment of all things, sometimes fourfold, sometimes double. Theft ends in making poor the thief, in which it then, of course, deters thieves from their thievery. Then there is the exposition and expounding of the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. In verses 16 and 17 concerning fornication. And verse 19, bestiality, which has become quite popular in our day, or more popular in our day. And the rest of the passage regards the first table of the law. That's the first through the fourth commandments, or the greatest commandment, summarized in the greatest commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That's what we see in the rest of the passage. First through the fourth commandments. Verse 18, forbidding witchcraft or sorcery, which is in the last, again, the last 30 years has grown in popularity again amongst those called the Wiccans or pagans, etc. There's much, as we think of various religion, there's much occult, O-C-C-U-L-T, occult religion in the world today, even in the basis for what yoga is, as little as that is. It's even in that. And then verse 20, idolatry, worshipping other gods, which are all false. And then also our worship through giving in verses 29 through 30, and offering the first fruits. Verse 28, then also a part of the fifth commandment, also part of the first through the fourth commandments. The fifth commandment, not cursing a ruler or judges. They're in our Bibles termed gods, rulers or judges. And then the chapter ends, the setting apart of God's people in a very peculiar way. Verse 31, God's people, you are to be holy and therefore turn from your sins that are so easily applied to us here as we hear these commandments of stealing or destroying property and the sins of adultery and so the sins against our God. You are to flee from these sins, but above all, flee from sins against your holy God and turn to Christ who perfectly kept the law and these commandments and who is our righteousness. And so we turn to Him now in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for Your law. We are thankful for Your word. We are thankful that You don't merely give us the Ten Commandments, and we don't take those commandments so woodenly that it's only dealing with stealing. It's only dealing with adultery, very formally and properly and specifically, only that. No, it's not. As Your word expounds upon these commandments, and shows us how they're applied in principle in many and various ways. And so that's why we praise you that we have the larger catechism, although it's not your word. It summarizes those many sins of against these commandments, and also what is required of these commandments, and many applications to help us understand, even as your word here in chapters 21 and 22 now, as we've read them, helps us understand how broad your commandments reach, and therefore how broad our sin is against you, our holy God. And Father, we plead that you would forgive us of our sins and turn us from them unto Christ and cleanse us of our sin, even by the Holy Spirit. Even as your word says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your prayer to the Father, Jesus. And so that is our prayer to the Father, that you would sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. And do so by your Holy Spirit, who enables and equips and guides us, who is our counselor. As we hear your word today, may your Spirit be present, and may you grant an understanding and knowledge of your word, but also wisdom. That is, how to apply this to our lives. And Father, we do thank you that you are the God who freely pardons your people of their sins. We're thankful that Christ died on the cross for our sins. And so the condemnation for every single sinful thought and sinful word and sinful action that we have taken, even in the last few moments in worship, those sins have as their just punishment, they have fallen upon Christ there at the cross. And we give you praise for this. And we're thankful for his righteousness, by which you receive us into your presence even now before the throne. Father, today we do ask that you would sanctify and heal our souls. Maybe there's some here, even of our children who don't know you. Father, turn them unto you, the living and true God. And then we notice also there are many missing this morning, not feeling well. We do pray for Jake and Marissa and Elijah. We pray for Russ and Deanne, Oscar and Michelle, and Father, we pray for the Nichols family who's not present. Father, all these and more that who are missing, Father, we ask that you would grant to them good health, strengthen them. We pray for Junior and Johnny that you would open the womb, for you have closed the womb and you have not given them children. And so, Father, we plead that you would open the womb, for you are the God who opens and closes the womb. And so we rely upon you and cry out to you, for that is their desire to have children, because they know, just as we all know, that children are a blessing from the Lord. And so, Father, bless your people with children. Bless this congregation with more children. And bless that family. We praise you that for the many children in the womb. And pray for their good health. And more so, we pray for their souls. That even in the womb, just as you did with John the Baptist, so you can regenerate and change the heart and change the will and cause them to believe on your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we leave it in your hands, knowing that you are a God who can do what we think is impossible. We know that you can save at any moment by your word and Holy Spirit, even in the womb and even unto the deathbed. And so save your elect at the right time. We pray that all of our children, pray for them, even those who have gone out from us and become atheists and played the fool and said there is no God and acted and lived as if there is no God. Father, call them back and cause that word that is in them For you've written your word on our hearts and upon all creation. It's there. And these children have heard it, the gospel. And so they're not only without excuse, they're beyond excuse. And so, Father, we pray that you would plague them with your word and cause your spirit to be sent, if it be your will. And that you would turn the hearts unto you, even from among the wicked. We pray that you would send forth the gospel, even from our lips. We know that in the months ahead, we often have more time with extended family. May the gospel be on our lips. And Father, we often talk about the worldly things, sports and TV and happenings in politics and government. May the gospel be on our lips instead. And may we focus upon you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, today we're thankful for your covenant mercy that you extend to all your people, even here, that you have not taken away your word yet from us. Some congregations, you have taken your word away in judgment to them because they have rebelled against you and their idolatry. And it is only by your grace and your mercy that we still have your word. It's not because we're good enough or better or smarter or wiser. It's because of your grace and your mercy. And so we give you all the praise. We pray that you would help us, even in the future, that you would grow us to such an extent that we'd be able to plant another church. And you would help our presbytery plant more churches. We pray especially for those that are in the midst of doing so in Oklahoma City, in Houston, in San Antonio. We ask that you would grant blessing to those congregations as well. And Father, we're thankful. Now as we continue worshiping you, we pray that you would help us for the sake of your Son Jesus Christ, for your glory, and for our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.